He was laid off during the pandemic with a pregnant wife at home and a father facing a terminal illness. But Brian Schwartz didn't throw in the towel. In fact, he started a movement that's so unbelievable, it's now being turned into a Hollywood movie. And he joins us today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, and I am so pumped for this episode. I cannot tell you how much I've been thinking about this and how excited I am to get to our guests. But before that, I'm here with our co-hosts, the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro. Isaac, what's going on, man?
What's up, Evan?
And Mike Gesser. Mike, how are you?
Good, Evan. How are you?
You can tell I got a lot of energy today.
Me too.
I'm really excited because our guest is somebody that I've known for over 20 years, somebody that I have watched grow as a person, as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, as a philanthropist, and soon to be a big Hollywood star, because his story is so amazing, Brian. It's so amazing that Hollywood has reached out and they're going to make a movie about what he has accomplished. So without further ado, I bring you the man who created I Want to Mow Your Lawn, one of the coolest philanthropic organizations that I've ever heard of, really. Something that was born out of the COVID-19 pandemic. Welcome to the show, my old friend, my brother, Brian Schwartz. Brian, how are you, man?
Hey, Brian.
Good to see you. Thank you so much for having me, Evan. It's just an honor. I'm just so inspired by what you're doing and just grateful to be here and grateful to, participate.
Man, we've come a long way since we were roommates at the Arizona State University back in the day.
Sharing, we had bunk beds at one point and I think we share a similar birthday.
Happy almost birthday. That's right.
Yes.
All right. Let's get down to brass tacks here, because one of the things that I've been so proud to watch you start and grow is I Want to Mow Your Lawn. And I don't want to mischaracterize it. So I'm just going to let you tell the story about how this came to be. And before we start telling it, the audience should know that this has become a national movement. It's gotten so much attention and it is such a beautiful and amazing thing. So Brian, go ahead and tell the story.
So rewind to 2020, as we all know, life changed a lot for many people. The COVID pandemic came around and we all went into lockdown. Lots of uncertainty in the world, right? With societal unrest, seniors being vulnerable to the virus, millions of people losing their job. Me being one of them. It was June of 2020, where I had a wife at home, pregnant, 8 months. And I had reached out to my HR department. I was working for an advertising agency at the time in Midtown Manhattan, commuting to and from prior to the lockdown every day from my home in Northern New Jersey. And, this is a space I've been in for 15 years. And when I reached out to my HR person, long story short, I asked about a paternity leave. A week later, there was no communication. And I finally heard back. And that next week, just point blank, just said that they were going to let me go. Combined with a few others that followed, getting laid off from our job. And ultimately, the company went out of business. It was definitely a shock to the system, going from pretty much earning six figures to zero, ultimately collecting unemployment, going on a mortgage forbearance, but having to deliver the news to my then pregnant wife with our eventual first newborn, as well as a father who was battling a terminal illness at the time. He was battling glioblastoma stage 4. And all of the internal stresses that I was going through and everything going on in the external world. It was a super stressful time, not knowing what I was going to do. You know, just, you know, delivering the news to my pregnant wife and my father. I knew deep down I'd be okay, but I wanted to make sure that they'd be okay.
What was that like, having that conversation with them?
It was a few weeks later that, you know, I effectively pretty much suffered a panic attack, thinking about how I'm going to, you know, get back on my feet, knowing that now that everybody's like working from home and I'm not just competing with people in New York and New Jersey for a job, but like, you know, people overseas are submitting resumes for this industry. But those conversations was not easy, just telling my wife, and she was just like, how could they do this to you, knowing that, you know, I'm about to have a newborn and a father that's pretty much, you know, facing his eventual death. But I knew I would bounce back, but it might take a while. And so, you know, I had this spare time. You know, I'm super active. I think, Evan, you would know, like, I loved going to the gym, and you know, gyms were on lockdown for 3 to 4 months. And so for myself, you know, I was, you know, we were a couple of years into our new home, and you know, we had put a big lump sum down, and so didn't have a whole lot to cover for landscaping. And so I took on learning how to do my own lawn, and for me, it was just a form of therapy, just mowing my own lawn. And at that time, like at the height of the pandemic, I was trying to tune out all the bad news. And I think a lot of us were just searching for something good. And I wanted to be a part of that. And I knew that I could at least do something, not just to, you know, help others and contribute something good, but would help me as well, both mentally, physically, doing something that like could, you know, keep my mind busy until I figured out the next step in my life. I literally just days later on a whim without any plan, just set up the website. I wanted to mowyourlawn.com, super straightforward, specifically.
That's just, so Brian Schwartz, man.
Sounds like something at 16, but that's amazing.
Man, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
And I'll get into like how it's evolved, but like, you know, I come from the advertising and website background, so it was pretty easy for me just to set up a simple website with some contact information for people locally to get in touch. And I started just to advertise with a little bit of funds to a local radius of people that might be 65 years and older, looking for help with their yard. And got a bunch of inquiries. And literally, like, the day that I announced it, before I even like built up like a portfolio and before it became a nonprofit, local news TV had reached out and says, are you sure you want to do this? You're going to get a lot of phone calls. And he was right. I mean, fast forward to present day, have tracked over 15,000 phone calls.
Wow.
Looking for help. And I'm not even exaggerating. Like, we have like a tracking system in place now.
Amazing.
But yeah, like I started to build up a little portfolio of just packing up my lawnmower into the back of the family Jeep, driving around 20, 30 miles in any given way, and helping out elderly individuals with their yard work completely free of charge. You know, I was also thinking about my late grandfather who passed away just months prior to the pandemic. And thankfully, we had a proper burial for him. And I was thinking about the stress that other families might have been going through at the time. Not being able to have proper burials and the assisted living centers like being impacted. And it started to become a little bit too much. I started to get too many inquiries. And so I crafted another, like a press release, and a local newspaper picked it up with my hopes that it could inspire some more volunteers to reach out. And it did. You know, I got my first couple of volunteers reaching out, offering to help. They were either laid off, furloughed, and had personal landscaping equipment, pickup trucks, and a means to help. And so I started to, you know, manually distribute out like some of these leads that I'm receiving. And these guys are just going around with me, Tom and Pete. Little did they know that they would spark a movement and inspire me and made me believe in the goodness of people. And you know, just things just, I feel like in a parallel universe, if the pandemic didn't happen, I maybe would not have lost my job, or I might not have decided to do something that would be, you know, helping others at a time of great uncertainty.
Brian, can I just ask you a question? I think it's pretty incredible because we talk about on our show, like when you're purpose driven, it's you got to take care of yourself. But you're just talking about all the things that just happened. You're talking to your wife about how you lost your job and you're out already tinkering and starting this business.
Yeah,
and
but Isaac, what you got to know about Brian is Brian has a motor that's never stopped. Since I've known you, you've it's like trying to get you to sit still for 2 seconds is impossible. You've always, you know, been looking for the next thing to do.
And
what can I do? I believe it. I know, because you are who you are, man. And one of the things I was saying before the show started was Brian has always had a high motor and he's always had a huge heart, and he's always looked for something to do when we were in college. I remember this. And afterwards, when you're looking for a job, like you've wanted to do big things, you wanted to help people, you want to do something with an impact. You've always been super creative. You've been super ambitious. And then getting laid off sucks, man. It's horrible. And that time in your life,
you know,
I can relate to that feeling of just what the heck am I going to do? Like it feels like the roof is collapsing on me and I don't know what to do and I'm drowning and I don't know what to do. But that spark that you felt that one day when you're just like, you know what, I'm just going to do something, that is a special feeling. And when you get it, you know it. And it sounds like when that hit you, you were just like, I don't know what this is, but I know I need to pursue it. And I know it can turn into something that's going to help people. And when we come back, because we have to go to break right now, but when we come back, Brian, we're going to hear how you turned this thing. The story is already amazing, but how you were able to take this from a couple guys mowing a couple lawns and turning it into this big successful thing that it is now. I can't wait to hear that story when we come back from break on Driven by Purpose. All right, welcome back to Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenbaum. We're here with Mike Gesser and Isaac Shapiro, the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation. And our guest, a man who started iwanttomowyourlawn.com, which has become a movement that started in New Jersey and has gone national to the point where Hollywood's come calling and they're going to make a movie about this. It's an unbelievable story. So where we left off is, Brian, you were telling us you've got your guys, you're mowing some lawns. You're getting all these calls. How do you take it from this thing that you started a little website on a whim one day and grow it into where it is now? How did you get to that point?
Great question. I think, everything is connected in some way, shape or form. You know, here in North Jersey, you never know who's watching. And so like there's this local newspaper that came out and I believe it was a producer for a national TV news, CBS Saturday morning. Had reached out, left a voicemail with me, and I couldn't believe it. Like I tried to like listen to it again to like see if it like a scam, but it was a producer for a national news story, and this was like mid-August, and so we scheduled a time for them to follow me around to a couple homes that we've been assisting, and a couple of those homeowners were gracious enough to take part in that, which I think helped make it like super personal and humanize.
Absolutely.
And that opened up Pandora's box in a good way. You know, it started to get people reaching out from everywhere, like all the way out to California.
Yep.
Down to Texas. And what really like changed things a lot from just a way for me to stay busy into something deeper, a purpose. I got a letter in the mail from a woman that we didn't even assist. I never met her before. She was based in New York. Her name was Sloan. I got a letter in a snail mail. Like she found my address before we even had a PO box. And on that letter, it said, I saw the story about you mowing lawns. It gave me some hope and inspiration. And she went on to say, I once saw on a t-shirt, be the reason someone believes in the goodness of people. And she capped it off with, you are that reason, sir. And that was at a time when I really needed to hear something like that. Like I shed a tear, like doing this, making it, taking a simple decision just to, I didn't think it was anything groundbreaking, you know, just people are helping their neighbors all the time. And so I'm realizing I created like this platform to spread kindness with lawn care as like kind of like almost the byproduct of the mission, right? And so started to hear from, you know, perfect strangers, neighbors and connections suggesting, you know, you can turn this into like a nonprofit. And so created a GoFundMe, which eventually raised enough funds to become a 501c3 registered nonprofit. Wow. I Want to Mow Your Lawn, Inc. And my father, who at the time was, you know, facing his illness, and he was a contributor to the GoFundMe. So he saw the start of it all. And so that's some of my personal motivation to keep it going, knowing that he's looking down and proud. He passed away in January of 21. But, you know, he surpassed doctor projections. Like, he was able to meet his first grandson, Dylan, who's just turned 5 years old. He's amazing. A healthy, happy boy.
Amazing.
And I believe he's, you know, shining down and happy. And I also feel like my son, he's, you know, internalizing some of the stuff I'm doing. It is my hope that, you know, someday, whether it's through our nonprofit or something even bigger, he's inspired to keep spreading kindness. And
Brian, I know Isaac and Mike are going to want to ask about the business side of this, and I'm very curious. Before we get into that, I just want to say that, like, you think your dad's shining. We know your dad's shining down on you. The fact this is what you've done is an amazing thing. And first off, I'm so happy your dad was able to be a part of it and is still a part of it through you. And I think it's so important that your son, who's now 5, is watching you do something that you care so deeply and passionately about. You are an unbelievable role model to your kid, man. You're not doing something where you're phoning in a job. You're showing your son, and you're an example of somebody who's saying, you know what? I want to help other people. I want to help my neighbors, and I can figure out a way to turn this into a business and a thing that it's not just one thing. Like, it's a sustainable company that, you know, you're helping people all over the country. And the fact that your son is there to see you do this and that you care so much about it is an amazing thing. And I commend you so much for this. I think that you are an amazing person, Brian. I'm honored to know you, bro. I appreciate that.
And living the truth, like my mom, right? Like, I watched my mom, and, you know, just being dedicated to advancing the lives of individuals with disabilities, with blindness, I started. So I definitely agree with that. And I think, you know, Brian, where do you see the business? You said it's a nonprofit. So what is your goal with this nonprofit? Because one of the things we've talked about in earlier shows is, do you start a business that's a for-profit, or do you go the nonprofit route? So what is your goal for the nonprofit, and why did you go the nonprofit route rather than the for-profit route?
I guess before I get into like the ultimate goals, like, I can share a little bit of tidbits of how it got to where it's at. You know, coming from the advertising space, right? Like, you know, I was able to, you know, create some of these partnerships like that, like the voicemail and the phone number mentioned. Like, I was able to create like a tracking system just to collect all these voicemails and collect a lot of data. There was a time where we, there's been multiple iterations of the website to get it to where it's at. Like, it was originally just an informational website with just some standard contact information. It has since evolved with like robust intake forms for both homeowners, like service recipients, as well as volunteers. And they can range anywhere from individuals to professional landscapers to corporate social responsible companies to education, anywhere from elementary up to higher ed, right? And so we, at our core, we operate like now as almost like a matchmaker, connecting the dots between people that are looking for help and people that want to help. And obviously there's a map, like we've put a lot of effort into like some of the search engine optimization. Now, even not just Google, but like we're being recommended not just by case managers with health insurance and Medicare companies, but also ChatGPT and Amazon Alexa is recommending us as like a go-to resource.
Wow.
So we have like mechanisms now in place with, there's only so much we can do on the supply side, right? Like, as with any industry, there's way more demand right now than the actual supply, but we're growing in the supply. When I say supply, I'm talking about over 1,700 volunteers enlisted everywhere across the USA and even in some other countries. We have not yet activated them, but just the fact that they're like on standby and we have that kind of reach is pretty incredible. Ready to mow or ready to do some, any form of landscaping. The homeowners, you know, we have all this, we have this algorithm now that's like scoring the leads that are coming in to help us like prioritize those that are most in need, whether they're low income, they live alone, might have served in the military, indicated they have some form of disability, coupled with, you know, if we have the ability to fill that. And so as I'm speaking to you now, like we got it to a point where we're literally sending real-time alerts to people that might be in their vicinity within like a 30-mile radius that someone either has left a voicemail. And we got it to a point where we're translating those voicemails via text. Wow. And passing along that information to somebody that was is within that zip code. So it's following that similar logic with website now. And so to speak to your goal, like your thoughts about goal, like ultimately is to leave a legacy that I don't need to like be hands-on. Like I've leaned in a lot to the technology. Now, like there's even like an ability to send via SMS text photos of like before and after transformations. And that automatically logs the hours in like the dashboard that we have created for these volunteers so that we can like actually track the real-time impact and not be like so hands-on. And like, because even a few years ago, like I'm so proud of how far we've come. Like we had like virtual assistants and it's just not sustainable cost-wise, time-wise. And so like technology has come a long way in implementing some of these integrations. But like, yeah, just to trace back a sec, like how it grew was like simple like partnerships that we have created. For instance, like announced something to our LinkedIn company page and, you know, it was like a background screening company for like a volunteer onboarding service. We're no longer with them. Like we have our own mechanisms now. But at the time, like there was this woman out of Houston, Texas that was following this company that was inspired by our mission. She had reached out and this is in Houston, Texas. I'm like literally duplicating what I did in New Jersey, passing along leads to this woman in Houston and she's helping out veterans, elderly individuals. And amazing. She got like all this like coverage, a Houston mom of two laid off. Helping out elderly and seniors. And so she got like news coverage, which inspired more people to sign up and want to help. And
it's
so
like it's a positive domino effect.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So
there's a lot of legs. Like we have, you know, like we have a veteran out of Maryland who's now a board member. His name is Springer. You know, we have part of our mission statement, our updated mission statement is to preserve dignity, enable independence and establish community by providing essential landscaping services to elderly, veterans, and people in need. We also encourage battery power equipment, which has resonated with some of these, like the largest manufacturers of, you know, Milwaukee Tool, yeah. Steel, Ryobi, all of which have made in-kind donations of product.
And
we've been able to upgrade volunteers who are actively helping and generating content and helping. So it's been like a win-win for all parties.
Now, Brian, Brian, one last thing, the nonprofit decision. Why did you go nonprofit, not for profit?
When I first got started, I wasn't in it to, I think it's just a natural thing, just continued doing. When I started to get these letters in the mail from people that were truly being impacted and realizing that like, there's this opportunity to inspire others. I didn't think that would be the case if it became a for-profit. And I think more people would be inclined because I feel like there's already like, yep. You know, an Uber for landscapers out there. And so I just took a different path knowing that, you know, others would be inspired to join in.
What I find fascinating about this is when you're telling your story earlier about how you started, right? You didn't start with the intention of building a business, whether it was for profit or whether it was nonprofit. It was done because you felt good about doing it. And then when you started to help people, you felt better. And I think there was an authenticity behind the motive. And I think that's how it got to where it was today. Obviously, you had these skills and this technical background, but I have to say, like, to me, there was something going on there that, like, at this time of need for people in extenuating circumstances, that here's a force for good. And, like, I think that's kind of like something that should be called out and pointed out. I don't think you would have had the success you have if you weren't authentic. I'm not saying making money or being a for-profit would have taken that out. I think you're genuinely a good person and you put the right things into it. And I think that's how the results continue to deliver and domino effect over and over and over, because I think there's other good people that are, you know, expanding what you're doing, but it starts with you. So, you know, good for
you.
Well,
I would like to take some credit in the beginning of Brian's philanthropic career, because when we were in college, we used to do these philanthropies, they were called, for our fraternity. And we would do choreographed dances. And today, Brian was always the best dancer, but I get in there and throw it around every now and then. And that's how we started our philanthropic careers, Brian.
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
We danced. No, come on, man. It's all that.
I think your dancing would probably turn people off.
I should stop right now. Yeah. Brian, I want to ask about the Hollywood connection and the movie thing, because I saw the article on Deadline that somebody has bought the rights to the story. And I'd like to hear what's going on with that. And, you know, give us all the dirt, man. I want to hear all about it.
Yeah. So, it was, the summer of 2022, a, segment came out, about our growing movement on USA Today. And that's when one of my old connections, I worked at a summer camp. Like, I wasn't like friends, but like an acquaintance of someone that went to a similar summer camp with. This gentleman, Samuel, he lives in California, and he's been in like the entertainment space for a while, like interning and, you know, media and stuff. And I guess that's where he like first like got up to speed with what I was doing and was following and engaging with some of the stuff I was sharing. This first started in 2021. He first saw I was on the Drew Barrymore show, Still Surreal, spreading awareness about the cause, and got a nice donation from her to the foundation. Shout out, Drew. And it was that following summer, like after the USA Today segment came out, that Samuel's realizing that like I'm onto this like thing. And so he reached out, like cold outreach. Like I haven't seen him in like 20 years. And he like just brought me up to speed what he was doing. And I told him like pretty much what I told you, how this all began. And like 15 minutes into the conversation, he's like, I think you have the ability you have like a story to tell in a movie. Telling him about my father. And I'm like, oh, okay. I admit, like, do you mean like a documentary? I'm like, I was like in tears, like, come on. Like, I'm just, you know, everybody's helping their neighbors. We're just, you know, another vehicle trying to connect the dots and make a little difference, carving our own path.
So who bought it?
A year later or so, like he brought on like a co-producer, and they sold it to the life rights to Walden Media.
Amazing.
Yes, congratulations.
That's huge, dude. That's, nice. That's great.
And
can you sign my microphone, please?
Yeah. They're still like in the I'm still learning the whole process, but yeah. I'm sure you know like there's a lot that has to fall in place for like an actual to come to product like fruition.
But you got it started though. I mean, that's a lot further than a lot of people get. So the ball is rolling. Let me ask you this. Don't be humble. Who's going to play Brian Schwartz if Brad Pitt's not available?
I've heard. I'll take Aaron Falk.
That'd be amazing.
That was just like a random like thought someone like sent to me once. Like I don't like. I'm just grateful to even have these conversations. Like, it's still amazing. Surreal to me. Like, we're talking to, they're still like in like stages of like approving like a pitch deck and a script with screenwriters. So I'm kind of like limited in information that can be shared at the moment.
Understood.
Pretty crazy.
We are, Brian, we're running low on time, but we have one last question. Was it Mike or Isaac? Who's up?
Yeah, I'll ask it. Brian, what advice would you give to somebody who wants to start a nonprofit?
Well, first and foremost, just like any business, it's just because you create a 501c3, the donations and the volunteers aren't just going to come rolling in automatically. It's just like any business. It takes a lot of work. Ask my wife. I spend way too much time on this, more than one should. I'm grateful to have, just long story short, like I'm back to work now, working a full-time job. So this is just a passion project.
Wow.
So it's a lot to juggle, but be prepared to put in a lot of work and just keep following your heart, keep believing in yourself. And
one foot in front of the other.
You know, there's plenty of, you know, if you shouldn't be in it for money. It's all about just leaving a mark. My thought is like, when everybody starts helping their neighbors, our mission is complete.
Brian, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, man. It's such an honor and a privilege to talk to you. I'm so proud of you. Thank you for coming on the show and telling your story. And before we go, tell the people, if you want to be a volunteer, if you want to be a part of I Want to Mow Your Lawn, how do they find you?
Yeah, well, so we have like 6 different active social media channels. So you can find us on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn. But ultimately, come to our website, iwanttomowyourlawn.com. And there's a section to join our cause, become a volunteer. One time, it makes a difference. There's no contracts. It's come as you go, when you can, where you can. And so
I'm going to sign up and I'm going to mow somebody's lawn.
We're all just doing what we can when we can.
Here's why I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because it's a good thing and I'm inspired by you, but I also want a cameo in the movie. So if I mow the lawn and I send you a picture of me mowing someone's lawn, you got to put me in the movie when it happens, okay?
Or just the credits.
I'll try. I'll do my best.
Just the credits. Like all the names are on. It's like, Evan mowed a lawn once. Cool. I'll take it. Brian, thank you so much, man. Congratulations on your success. And I wish you more continued success moving forward in all facets of your life. You're an amazing dude. And it's been so great talking with you today. If you like this show, remember, share it. Follow us on social media. Subscribe. Send it to friends. Comment. All that good stuff. Driven by Purpose. We're everywhere that Brian is. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube. We're on the TikToks. Everywhere you get your podcasts. Please like, subscribe, and share. That's the most important thing. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. We will see you next time on Driven by Purpose.